You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Roku has what you need to make your college home away from home feel more like your own. Make your dorm the place to be with Roku TV. Or bring a Roku streaming stick to easily access all your favorite free and premium content like iHeartRadio. Stream your favorite playlist with the Roku vibe-setting smart light strips to sync your music to millions of colors and make your dorm feel more like you. Make your dorm the place to be with Roku TV, streaming players, and smart lights. Head to Roku.com or your favorite retailer to deck out your dorm.
Is getting gas at Shell burning a hole in your wallet? What if I told you can easily earn cash back while you fill up? Introducing Drop, the app that turns every fill up into a reward. With Drop, you'll earn points to get free gift cards every time you fill up your tank. Download Drop and use code DROP88 to instantly receive $5 in points to jumpstart your savings journey. Don't miss out on turning your gas expenses into something rewarding.
Broadcasting live from the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
Armstrong and Getty.
And now, he is Armstrong and Getty.
Live from Milwaukee, Republican National Convention, though seriously, because this happened. Katie, I want your opinion on this too. I'm in the bathroom and Lee Greenwood is in there. If I had started humming, you think he'd like start singing a little bit? You think he'd have joined in with me and we'd have had like a little bathroom singing thing going?
The reverb is great in the bathroom.
Right.
You guys would have sounded terrific.
No, we just had this conversation like a couple of weeks ago about how humming and singing in the bathroom is bizarre.
Yeah, but don't do that. Greenwood's in there.
Doesn't matter. Probably creeped him out more.
Probably happens to him all the time.
You know, one of the great divides in maledom, Katie, you may not be aware of this, is that there's talks to the guy in the next urinal guy, and there's the please don't talk to me guy.
That is all true, but this is a different sort of brush with greatness.
You're going to try to make Lee Greenwood break in a song as he pees?
Yeah, he was just trying to pee.
I really like urination.
Something.
Wow. So lame.
That is a hallmark of this show. Conversations at the very highest level, like we had with Lon Heechin just a few minutes ago, about polling data and whatnot, and then that dumb joke there.
Yeah, well, anyway, it's unique.
What's with you guys?
There's nobody else on Media Row. Thank you, Mr. President.
We've got more of Joe Biden and Lester Holt, which if you didn't see it, so Biden did that interview with ABC News. It was bad. His interview with Lester Holt was 10 times worse and is not getting talked about much, as far as I can tell, because of the shooting and the convention and everything else that's going on. Right. Or everybody's just like, yeah, we know. His brain don't work.
Yeah, we factored that in. Well, the most astounding thing about the revelations, they're not revelations if you've been paying attention, but the quote-unquote revelations of the president's declining mental faculties, is how little it has changed the polls. It's baked in.
I saw, here's a tip for you, Katie. Well, you're married, and you know, you're faithfully married and stuff like that, so you don't care about this sort of thing anymore. Here's how you tell if a guy's got big arms, because I've noticed this with some of the Secret Service dudes. Mm. If your arms fill out your suit jacket, like if the sleeves on your suit jacket are tight on your arms, you have got big arms. I've seen a couple of secrets.
The ladies call that a nice build.
I've seen a couple of Secret Service guys where you can tell their suit jackets are tight on their arms. How is that even possible?
Yeah, I would have to get mine custom made.
Right.
Wait a minute. You want the body to be extra large, but the sleeves to be extra... What?
From arms to legs, I saw the hairiest legged women yesterday I've ever seen in my life.
Do tell.
The protesters outside the building.
Were you at some sort of hippie strip club? No, protesters.
It was some of the various groups protesting on behalf of Hamas.
Yeah, up with Hamas, down with America, go to hell, scumbags.
And I wish my legs were that hairy.
I got hairy legs.
That's right, Mr. President. Yeah, I saw a big march as I was heading back to the hotel for a while. And it was the usual kafias and geeks and losers and idiots. But my favorite sign was, ban bombs, not books. I'd like to engage that person in conversation for a second. Okay, so you're going to ban bombs. Well, that is a delightful notion if you're 8 years old. But for the rest of us, what's national security going to look like? Please, the mic is open. Explain. And then the not ban books. How about porn for children? Are we okay banning pornography for children in the school library? Again, the mic is yours. Explain.
Well, also the signs that say, because I saw them yesterday, trans for Palestine.
Oh.
I mean, I assume they know this, but I'd like to hear their explanation or their answer. If you were in Palestine right now, they would murder you before the day was over.
Right. Yeah. When I hear stuff like that, and I haven't run personally into somebody saying that anytime recently, but I mean, it's akin to saying to me, my dog told me yesterday, .. Right. I would not know exactly how to respond. I suppose I would, but I would be ready for inane babbling.
So we have some breaking media news that is actually more important than just the media.
Yeah, nobody gives a damn about Morning Joe, really, except inside the Beltway, where everybody cares intensely about what Morning Joe has to say, Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. And we talked briefly yesterday about the fact that they weren't on the air yesterday. Instead, they just went with, like, NBC news coverage.
Well, I wanted to tune them in right away, having learned that the Morning Show on MSNBC sets the tone for the Biden White House. They all watch it every single day, and they take their cues from what are the important issues of the day. And also, I wanted to see Scarborough's take on the shooting, since they've had some really divisive rhetoric about Trump for a long, long time. He's a threat to democracy, and we'll never have another election again if this guy's elected, which, as we keep pointing out, justifies any behavior, I mean, including violent action. And they weren't on the air yesterday, and I thought, how convenient. Well, the rumor was throughout the day that NBC pulled them off the air because they were worried what they or some of their guests, because they got a panel of like six people with them every day, what some of the people on the show might say. NBC was worried about what some of the people on that show might say. Then there was pushback from the Scarborough camp saying, no, we just took the day off or something. Oh, you had it for us, Katie. There was a claim that it was just their extended convention coverage. NBC's extended convention coverage, including not having Scarborough on, and I called BS on that right away. I mean, you don't take off the number one show on your network, most profitable, most influential. They could cover the convention. You don't need different convention coverage.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, any other choice but them is bizarre on MSNBC, as you're saying. So Scarborough and his co-host Little Mika addressed the situation today, accused MSNBC of lying to them about replacing the show with breaking news coverage of the fallout from the Trump assassination. If MSNBC does that again, Scarborough said he is acquitting. He said, we were told in no uncertain terms that on Sunday evening, that there was going to be one news feed across all NBC news channels yesterday. That did not happen. In other words, they just booted them off and put something else on.
Wow, I'm surprised he didn't fight that anyway. Wait a second, you're taking us off to have the same coverage on every channel? We're the most popular thing on NBC.
So, evidently, on air today, Mika tried to shift the conversation after they addressed the situation, said we weren't on yesterday, blah, blah, blah.
I'll tell you one thing Mika knows is that once he gets going, you can't stop him.
Oh, yeah.
She understands that completely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, but Scarborough cut her off, as he always does.
Right, and she puts up with it as his wife on television.
And he threatened to quit the network if executives canceled the program on false grounds, pointing out the network did not cancel all commentary on Monday, blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
You know, again, the significance of this, the ultimate significance is, but in terms of disarray and dissolution of Democratic and liberal politics, I mean, everybody's mad at everybody.
I'd just say inside media, if we were taken off the air after a major historical event because they're worried about what we might say, I'd be seriously pissed off.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, indeed. I tell me if I'm wrong. It's like if you and your spouse, significant other, are getting a really nasty argument, and then your guests who are coming over come over.
Right.
And every conversation is just fraught with tension. I feel like every conversation is fraught with tension among Democrats at this point. And how could it not be? As we were discussing with Lon Hee Chen, the Biden hanging in the race situation is just brutal and will continue to get worse again because of the inevitable one direction of how these neurological difficulties go.
While at the same time, as Lon Hee Chen pointed out, the Republicans have not been more together since George W. Bush.
Yeah.
First term.
You have Tucker Carlson and Nikki Haley at the same convention.
Speaking. What the hell?
Well, it's, and again, if you missed Lon Hee's conversation with us last hour, grab it via podcast, Armstrong and Getty On Demand, hour two, right? I've got too many time zones in my head. But he was talking about how interesting it is the way coalitions come together, whether the Reagan coalition or the Obama coalition or what have you throughout history, and how they hang together for a while. And they never last forever. Some are stronger than others. But that there is absolutely, undoubtedly, a Trump coalition coming together. And it is not exclusively Trumpy at all. It has a good deal of overlap, but like any political coalition, there are some somewhat surprising bedfellows.
Wait a second. Are you wearing a different sports jacket today than yesterday?
I am.
You brought more than one sports jacket.
I did. I packed incredibly efficiently.
How many did you bring?
It was 11. No, two.
I'm wearing the same jacket every day.
Well, that's a good jacket.
And shirt and underwear. No, yeah. I brought
Lord!
No, I brought different shirts, but I'm wearing the same jacket every single day. I just, yeah. Why, you packed a jacket? How do you pack a jacket without it being all wrinkled up?
Fold it neatly, then roll it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all about the rolling.
Well, this is a pricey jacket. I don't think I would ever roll it up.
Yeah, if you want. Yeah, it doesn't look that pricey.
Were you concerned people would say to you, isn't that the same jacket you wore yesterday?
You know, my beautiful bride was somewhat concerned because it's a fairly distinctive jacket.
Yeah, I'm sure yeah. It's a good-looking jacket.
Thank you. It might be nice to mix it up a little bit. So, yeah. And again, it was my my most efficient packing of my travel career.
As a guy who cares about how he dresses, that is the problem with bold. If you go bold, it leaves an impression and people notice it when you wear it again.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You know that, don't you, Katie?
Anyway, we accidentally both wore pink shirts today, Katie.
Oh, yeah.
And I noticed that.
I was going to claim we were like the Log Cabin Republican show, which is the prominent gay Republican group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're both wearing pink today. We got to go be on some gay show somewhere. Yeah. We just have to be.
And we're just go up and go, hey!
And why not? And why not?
That'd be fine. I don't care.
No, it strikes me, a theme we've hit many times. One of the great things about being a conservative is we're allowed to disagree with each other. And there is a pretty broad spectrum of people that come together not in a quest for raw power, which I think not everybody, but a lot of folks on the Democratic side ought to hate each other. Right. But they don't just for power. I think among conservatives, there is a fairly broad swath of limited government, although with the new populist Trump wing, that's changing a little bit. But limited government, fewer regulations, lower taxes, that sort of thing. And look, if I disagree with you about Ukraine, let's talk about it.
I don't know where J.D. Vance is on a whole bunch of different topics, actually. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Of course, what the vice president thinks about stuff doesn't really matter.
As J.D. Vance said yesterday in a great interview with Hannity.
Yeah.
Man, we've got a lot of great audio we haven't played today. Maybe we'll hit that on the way back.
Oh, and J.D. Vance's, well, there's a bunch of positions that the left claims he has that he doesn't actually have.
Right.
So there's that whole angle, too. And we need to talk at some point more about the moment last night when Donald Trump came in the arena, bandage on his ear, crowd chanting and singing, and Donald Trump looking seriously emotionally affected by it.
And he just had an aura of calm and wisdom. I don't know how else to describe it about him. If you saw it, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, you're probably scratching your head. But speaking of Trump and Vance, when we come back, if you have not heard J.D. Vance's story of what happened when Trump called him to offer him the VP slot,
you've got
to hear this. We'll play it in moments.
Yeah, that's a side of Trump that the left never wants you to hear about. That's all on the way, live from Milwaukee.
Armstrong.
Is getting gas at Shell burning a hole in your wallet? Get the Drop app. With Drop, you can earn free gift cards just by filling up your tank. Download Drop now. Use code DROP88 to instantly receive $5 in points.
We are quickly approaching the one-year anniversary of the horrific Hamas attacks on Israel, and still, the Holy Land continues to be attacked on multiple fronts. Since the war started, the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews has been on the forefront in Israel addressing the needs of the most vulnerable. That's why I'm partnering with IFCJ today. Your life-saving donation will help provide emergency food as well as critical security needs such as flak jackets, firefighting equipment, armored vehicles, bomb shelters, and more. We're looking for 500 listeners to join the fellowship in me by donating $150 to meet these urgent security needs. And thanks to a generous IFCJ supporter, your gift will be matched, doubling your impact in the Holy Land. Call to make your gift right now at 888-488-IFCJ. That's 888-488-4325. Or go online to supportifcj.org to give. That's one word, supportifcj.org. Israel needs our support now.
Donald Trump officially becoming the Republican presidential nominee for the third time. It came just minutes after Trump announced his running mate, first-term Ohio Senator J.D. Vance. Trump broke the news to Vance just 20 minutes before he told the world.
J.D. J.D.
At 39 years old, Vance would be one of the youngest vice presidents in American history, elected to his first term in the Senate just 2 years ago. A Marine who served in Iraq, Vance then graduating from Yale Law School. Vance once had tough words for Trump, but the senator says Trump's performance in office proved him wrong.
That's an understatement. He once had tough words for Trump. He called Trump America's Hitler. Well, what are you going to do? It was a rash moment. That was a surprisingly even-handed report from ABC News. I appreciate that. Yeah, we need to get more into J.D. Vance's life story, which, if you're not familiar with it, is truly amazing and truly American. In the limited time we have, though, I want to dive right into a couple of clips. J.D. talked to Hannity very shortly after he was named the Veep. First beard at the top of the ticket since when, Jack?
1892.
It's a great moment for beards. Anyway, roll 42. This is so charming.
When the president called me today to actually formally offer me to become, you know, the vice presidential nominee, which just sounds crazy, my 7-year-old son was sort of making noise in the background. You know, I'm getting so embarrassed. It's like, oh my God, Donald Trump's asking me to be his vice president.
So the phone rings, he calls you, and you're like, okay, this is the call, or maybe not the call.
Or maybe it's a bad call, right? It's the call. Who knows whether it's good or bad. But then he actually has me put my 7-year-old son on the phone. You think about this. Everything that's happened, the guy just got shot at a couple of days ago, and he takes the time to talk to my 7-year-old. It's a moment I'll never forget.
That is something. Hannity almost stepped on the best part of the story.
Oh, yeah.
That is a side of Trump that definitely the left doesn't appreciate or understand. Well, and so some of us on the right, too. It's funny, we had a listener write an email the other day, say, Joe, we get that you're ambivalent about Trump. You don't have to say that all the time. And the truth is, we have new listeners all the time, thank God. And so I'm kind of setting it up for them that we're not, like, just Trumpy right down the line.
Or
people.
Anti-Trump.
Oh, nor anti-Trump. Right, exactly. I have run into so many people who know him personally who say, seriously, man, everybody in his orbit likes him a lot. The Trump behind the scenes is a guy you would like and admire so much, and I believe it.
I don't doubt that a bit, but he's a complicated human being. He's also a guy that sat in the White House while they were storming the Capitol and beating down cops and did nothing.
And trying to hang Mike Pence.
Oh, I mean, so...
Yeah, unforgivable. What are you going to do? One more J.D. Vance clip.
I think the experience that maybe most Americans would care about, it's not that I spent 2 years in the Senate, and I think I've had a very successful 2 years in the Senate. It's that I came from nothing, became a United States Marine, and succeeded in business. That's the experience that I think gives you a fresh perspective.
Why do you think Trump picked J.D. Vance? Because he likes him and respects him and wants to work with him. It's not an electoral consideration.
No,
he was nearly the worst consideration if you take that sort of thing seriously at all.
I had somebody bring up to me yesterday, people usually pick a candidate that's going to balance the ticket with electoral, bring you a state. I'm like, what are you talking about? What year is this?
Yeah, yeah. I just thought, you know, for suburbs and folks who are still uncomfortable with Trump, they'd get somebody who was a little more establishment, a little more
that's what I thought.
Polite, etc. Although J.D. Vance, again, he is a brilliant man. He will strike the tone that needs to be struck. Goodness knows, and again, we'll get to his life story in full, but He has adapted to difficult circumstances. He can adapt to this.
We've got more of Joe Biden in the Lester Holt interview, which was 10 times worse than the Stephanopoulos interview. If you haven't heard it, stay tuned.
Armstrong and Getty.
Constantly making trips to Home Depot? Introducing Drop, the app that rewards you for every shopping trip. Earn free gift cards for shopping. Download the Drop app now and use code DROP33 to get $5 in points.
We are quickly approaching the one-year anniversary of the horrific Hamas attacks on Israel, and still, the Holy Land continues to be attacked on multiple fronts. Since the war started, the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews has been on the forefront in Israel addressing the needs of the most vulnerable. That's why I'm partnering with IFCJ today. Your life-saving donation will help provide emergency food as well as critical security needs such as flak jackets, firefighting equipment, armored vehicles, bomb shelters, and more. We're looking for 500 listeners to join the fellowship in me by donating $150 to meet these urgent security needs. And thanks to a generous IFCJ supporter, your gift will be matched, doubling your impact in the Holy Land. Call to make your gift right now at 888-488-IFCJ. That's 888-488-4325. Or go online to supportifcj.org to give. That's one word, supportifcj.org. Israel needs our support now.
If you go back and listen to the things J.D. Vance said about Trump.
Well, he said some things about you, yeah.
Well, he said something about me, but see what he said about Trump. What's with you guys? Come on, man.
Biden has had enough with the right-wing bias of mainstream media. Right. And he's not going to put up with it anymore.
Always covering up for Donald Trump as they've done since 2015.
Right. Right. Godspeed of pro-conservative messaging. That's what NBC is known for.
How come you guys never cover this stuff? Saturday Night Live did like 5 seasons worth of shows mocking it.
Right.
And but anyway, so we've got Joe Biden being interviewed by Lester Holt of NBC News. It was significantly worse than Biden's performance with Stephanopoulos. It's getting covered up, which is helpful for Biden, somewhat by the convention in the assassination attempt.
You mentioned it earlier, the body language was, you don't hear it in the audio, but it was terrible. It was an angry old man on the edge of his seat, looking like he wanted to leap up and rain down blows on the veteran newsman.
He also had that, and I don't want to sound like I'm joking about this or mocking it because he can't help it. It's horrible. But he also had that Parkinson's mask thing happening that he had at the debate.
The waxy, expressionless face.
Yeah.
Boy, it's a measure of how desperate the Democrats are that they're hanging on to this guy instead of making the switch. But anyway, having said that, we have more clips.
Yeah, let's roll.
Why don't you guys ever talk about the 18 to 28 lies he told? Where are you on this? Why didn't the press ever talk about that? I had a bad, bad night. I wasn't feeling well at all. And I had been, without it, I screwed up.
But I just asked a question because the idea that you may or may not have seen what some of these other folks have seen, you're not on the same...
I'd have to see I was there. I had to see it. I was there. And by the way, seriously, you won't answer the question, but why didn't the press talk about all the lies he told? Well, I haven't read anything about that.
We have reported many of the issues that came out of that debate.
No, you haven't.
But we'll provide you with them.
God love you.
Okay.
Wow. Wow.
Can you believe that? So, I mean, that is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. We've reported on what you're talking. No, you haven't.
No, you haven't.
No, you haven't. I'll provide them for you, you crazy old fart. He's thinking...
Wow. Just the concept that the mainstream media has been soft on Trump is
right.
I mean, are you serious?
And that was not political spin. That was, no, you haven't. No, you haven't. Which is an absurd allegation. I mean, it's as absurd if you're a lefty. There is not a liberal in America who is thinking, yeah, he's right. They've really given Trump a pass for the last 10 years. Holy crap, really?
And one reference Biden made in there is because Lester Holt brought up the Stephanopoulos interview and said, George Stephanopoulos asked you if you'd watched the debate, and you said you weren't sure. Have you watched it since then?
Right.
I mean, that was a hell of a thing, because Lester Holt didn't have to bring that up again.
He could have phrased it differently. Right. Yeah, and Biden said, I've watched clips of it. No, I think you missed the point of the question, which kind of answers the question.
Right.
All right. We got one more, right?
Yep.
He talks about there'll be a bloodbath if he loses, talking about how he's going to forgive all the, suspend the sentences of all those who were arrested and sentenced to go to jail because of what happened in the Capitol. I'm not out there making fun of, like, when, remember the picture of Donald Trump when Nancy Pelosi's husband was hit with a hammer, joking about it.
This doesn't sound like you're turning down the heat, though. You've talked about the
need. No. Look, when I'm turning down, we have to stop the whole notion.
Okay, so we've brought this up several times today to make sure, because not all you maybe understand this, because you don't spend your life watching the news like we do. So that whole bloodbath thing, Donald Trump was in a conversation about the electric car industry and our competition with China, and he used a common economic term that if we do certain things, it will be a bloodbath economically.
For the car business, yeah.
Common expression, bring it up, you know, look it up, Google it, whatever you want to do. Common expression. The fact that Joe Biden is pretending that Donald Trump was threatening political violence if he loses is an outright lie. And now he's saying it after an assassination attempt when he's claiming he's trying to calm the rhetoric. Right. I mean, that is as disingenuous and unpatriotic, as awful as anything I can imagine out of a sitting president of the United States.
What's Joe Getty's number one rule of socio-political thermodynamics? People don't make crappy arguments because they're saving the good ones for later. That's all he's got is Trump will cause a bloodbath.
Hey, but given the fact that we just had an assassination attempt.
Oh, within 48 hours, yes.
That is outrageous.
Yeah, I can't be offended because the guy's senile. It is outrageous. It's horrible. And it's stupid politics.
So you got two options. He either understands it, which is outrageous, and just all the things I said. Or he doesn't understand it, and he shouldn't be president right now.
Right.
So here's our favorite clip for dessert.
one more course before we get to dessert. Michael,
that sounds like me. Let's have another helping of...
Well, with you, it's another dessert before you have dessert. Man's got a problem. Anyway, clip 30 is the one I wanted, Michael. Here is, and I'm going to set it up in advance so you can kind of appreciate it. Lester Holt's asking him about his whole bullseye comment, and Biden keeps referring to, I didn't say crosshairs, which is a very strange and inexplicable response. I would be willing to bet heavily that his advisor said, look, they're going to ask you about that. You've got to say, we got to put these districts in the crosshairs is worse. You've got to make it clear that those crosshairs comments are worse. But Joe Biden, because he's senile, bungles it completely.
On a call a week ago, you said it's time to put Trump in the bullseye. There's some dispute about the context, but I think you appreciate that.
I didn't say crosshairs. I was talking about focus on. Look, the truth of the matter was, what I guess I was talking about at the time was, there's very little focus on Trump's agenda.
Yeah, the term is bullseye.
It was a mistake to use the word. I didn't say crosshairs. I meant bullseye. I meant focus on him. Focus on what he's doing.
If I'm Lester Holt at that point, I say, dude, you make no sense.
I know you didn't effing say crosshairs. Bullseye. I've said that twice now.
I'm sorry, Mr. President, but you're incomprehensible.
Yeah. Wow, you didn't say target either or 100 other words, all right? Can we focus? Focus.
With all due respect, Mr. President, I have no idea what you're saying.
What's your point?
I mean, it is so off the charts.
Okay, now dessert.
Now dessert. Here he goes, dessert.
What happens if you have another episode like we saw during the debate?
What happens if another?
Yeah, what happens if you have another performance on that par, on that level?
I don't plan on having another performance on that level.
Oh, my God!
I don't plan on having a forest on the level?
That first one, though. That first thing. What is that? That's like words tumbling down a hill.
Can we hear that again?
What happens if you have another episode like we saw during the debate?
What happens if another?
Yeah, what happens performance on that par, on that level?
Oh, my God.
I don't plan on having another forest.
Fish out of the forest.
He is. It's like you stack words at the top of the stairs and you push them off, and they roll down the stairs.
And what's funny is not an old man babbling. It's that he's the president, which isn't really funny either. Now that I think about it, and the fact that he's the candidate for the presidency for the Democratic side is hilarious. The fact that he's the sitting POTUS is terrifying, or at least it should be.
It's like he's saying a word and then he just gives up right in the middle of it. Doesn't want to finish
too
it.
Much trouble.
That might be his worst. That might be his worst 30 seconds of all the crazy things he said.
So long time ago, occasionally Jack and I would not exactly know how to end a segment, and we'd, well, is this Eminem? It was just our joke to each other that you could have ended that cleaner. You ended with a Eminem. He actually threw a Eminem out there.
First part again, one more time, just the first part.
What happens if you have another episode like we saw during the debate?
What happened over there?
Yeah, what happened?
Whoa! That makes my bus been wet seem coherent. At least he announced Troubadour International Depression.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Well, they were playing clips of this on CNN last night. And, man, Axelrod and Van Jones and that crowd and Jake Tapper were just like, this guy can't win.
Oh, right.
So what
he
now?
Can't serve. This term.
That is the part that is still left out. I wonder if some point we turn the corner from he can't win, shouldn't run, to he shouldn't be president today.
You're hearing voices, you know, on our side of the aisle saying that, but it is not yet spread like a wildfire.
If he has a worse moment, I don't know how much worse you can get verbally. But he's only, you know, a little ways away from, I think, than the left also saying he shouldn't be president now.
Right.
And we get Kamala needs to be president.
Which, I mean, politically speaking, is a 1 in 100 shot. I would say getting the old man over the finish line is a 1 in 350 shot. So that might be a good idea to, you know, go purely cynical politics. Have the quote-unquote incumbent for a cup of coffee be running.
They were talking about, at the beginning of the interview, having another debate. I mean, Joe Biden seemed to imply that, yeah, there'll be that September debate's going to happen.
Oh, really? Oh, that reminds me. You gotta give me the horse clip. Lester Holt asked him if he wants to have another debate. Does he want to get up on the horse, get back on the horse?
Do you know which number that was?
Yeah, 31.
Is there a sense of wanting to get back on the horse?
I'm on the horse. Where have you been? I've done 22 major events, overwhelming crowds, a lot happening. I'm on the horse.
I'm on the horse. Look at me. Big leather saddle. I'm wearing boots. Where have you guys been? What are you doing? I'm on a horse.
Four hooves, clip clop, nay, nay. I'm on the horse.
I got a 10-gallon hat on. Where you been, Jack? No malarkey.
I'm wearing a fringe jacket. Look, I'm on the horse.
He's swatting away flies with his tail. I have the reins in my hand. You guys, where you been? I've done 42 events on my horse. Where you been?
I'm herding cattle. I'm jumping four rail fences. I'm on my horse.
He's notes. He's urinating. While I sit on him, I'm on the horse.
Come on, he sleeps standing up. I'm on my horse.
Right, let's go to break. Come on, get out of here.
What's with you guys? Come on, man.
Armstrong and Getty.
Overspending on Amazon? Earn while you shop with Drop. Earn rewards on every purchase, online or in-store. Download Drop now and use code DROP11 to get $5 in points. Get rewarded for shopping today.
We are quickly approaching the one-year anniversary of the horrific Hamas attacks on Israel, and still, the Holy Land continues to be attacked on multiple fronts. Since the war started, the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews has been on the forefront in Israel addressing the needs of the most vulnerable. That's why I'm partnering with IFCJ today. Your life-saving donation will help provide emergency food as well as critical security needs such as flak jackets, firefighting equipment, armored vehicles, bomb shelters, and more. We're looking for 500 listeners listeners to join the fellowship in me by donating $150 to meet these urgent security needs. And thanks to a generous IFCJ supporter, your gift will be matched, doubling your impact in the Holy Land. Call to make your gift right now at 888-488-IFCJ. That's 888-488-4325. Or go online to supportifcj.org to give. That's one word, supportifcj.org. Israel needs our support now.
We're right next to Clay and Buck, which they're the biggest thing in radio, right?
All of radio?
Arguably,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think pretty damned arguably, especially based on their guest list that they got coming up. They got all the Trump kids coming up, and they're right next to us. So
if you don't know them, they're the inheritors of Rush Limbaugh's network.
Yeah. So they got the Rush Limbaugh network, and they're on all those stations, and they're sitting right next to us, and they're going to have all the Trump kids on this next hour, I guess. So we'll see them floating through, and we're going to try to grab them if we can. But they'll be, and so one of the, I forget which one, but our executive producer Hanson got the card from one of the Trump kids.
Yeah, Eric, yeah.
And the card has got the information on the front. On the back, it says, please do not contact me. I've never seen a business card that says, please do not contact on the back.
Wow. That's interesting.
Isn't it?
What the hell does that mean? Hey, Hanson, let's take one of our mics, stick it over there. And then we'll go Doug Steffen and edit our voices onto the conversations with the Trump kids for later in the week.
Pretend that we interviewed them.
Yeah.
Hey, a couple of big things that we have not talked about today, because we've had some great guests and, frankly, too much silliness. Elon Musk, shortly after the shooting, came out full-throatedly endorsing Donald Trump, which that alone is an amazing deal.
Notable.
A guy who runs the powerful platform that is Twitter and is the richest man in the world, fully endorsing Donald Trump, and has committed $45 million a month. If it was just $45 million, it'd be extraordinary, per month to a super PAC that's backing Trump. I mean, that is, whoa.
Well, is it Elon individually or Elon a couple other guys? It doesn't really matter.
No.
But yeah, $45 million a month for turnout, for legal ballot harvesting, for fighting using the same weapons that the Democrats have been using.
According to this, several tech moguls are also contributing, so Elon's portion is $45 million.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, that's its own interesting conversation. You know, if it's for the side that you want to win, you get excited. But if it were for the other side, you'd be thinking, Ian Bremmer is talked about, you know, some of these tech giants and their ability to sway elections. You know, if Google decides to get full-throatedly behind something, can you stop it?
Right.
Zuckerberg may have in 2020 and had a big effect on that election. I mean, so now Elon's doing the same for the other side. And is that good or bad? It's just free speech, I suppose. And what are you going to do? Yeah. So
I mentioned Joe Lonsdale several days ago. I guess it was last week. He's a tech guy and an entrepreneur, and he is staunchly reasonably conservative and hates the way Silicon Valley has, for instance, tried to straddle the line between the United States and China. And he has been preaching forcefully against that. Well, he's ponying up millions of dollars as well, as are the Winklevoss twins of the social network.
Are they the two fat guys riding motorcycles from the Guinness Book?
No, that's the McCrary twins, I believe, as I recall from my childhood. No, these are the the red-haired fellas, or the twins from the origin of Facebook.
Right.
They were there at the beginning on the college campus. But this is something. I mean, if the race were, like, tied and Joe Biden was at his sharpest, which is admittedly not all that sharp anyway, this would be a game changer, at least. Game changer, not like completely, but significantly. With the weakness of Biden at this point and the advantages of Trump and the unity of the Republican Party, I mean, this almost feels like end zone dancing to me, but he's serious.
Right. So we've talked a little bit about the moment last night in the hall where Trump came out, bandaged ear, Lee Greenwood singing, crowd chanting USA, and then starts chanting fight, fight, fight. Trump seemed to have tears in his eyes and looked like a guy affected by the moment in a way I've never seen him ever.
And this is not some sort of starry-eyed
Trump-loving thing. I was sitting there as a bitter, cynical media hack watching it unfold. He had a dignity about him that I have not seen before.
I agree. And a friend of mine texted me last night, who happens to be a religious fellow, and said, what if this is Trump's road to Damascus moment? What if he realizes how rough he's been to people, has had a genuine change of heart, and is now more humble and contrite? Do you think that's possible?
I've been saying for a long time, I don't think Trump understands the power that he has as the POTUS, and that some of his rhetoric is out of line because he doesn't understand how it can move people in a way that it doesn't as a TV personality or developer. I think he might understand that better now, but we'll watch that unfold.
Yeah, we'll certainly have an idea in the speech on Thursday, which we'll definitely be in the hall for that one, because that is going to be something else. Armstrong and Getty Show here all week for the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee.
And Getty.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Roku has what you need to make your college home away from home feel more like your own. Make your dorm the place to be with Roku TV, or bring a Roku streaming stick to easily access all your favorite free and premium content like iHeartRadio. Stream your favorite playlist with the Roku vibe-setting smart light strips to sync your music to millions of colors and make your dorm feel more like you. Make your dorm the place to be with Roku TV, streaming players, and smart lights. Head to Roku.com or your favorite retailer to deck out your dorm.
Is getting gas at Chevron burning a hole in your wallet? What if I told you can easily earn cash back while you fill up? Introducing Drop, the app that turns every fill up into a reward. With Drop, you'll earn points to get free gift cards every time you fill up your tank. Download Drop and use code DROP77 to instantly receive $5 in points to jumpstart your savings journey. Don't miss out on turning your gas expenses into something rewarding.